We've had many conversations on the show about fertility and how various your fertility journey can be. And sadly, the really high rates of infertility and struggles when it comes to starting a family and having a baby. One in six Australian couples will face fertility issues. But something that's become really prevalent for me on this journey is that it's 50% of the equation comes from you as the woman, but 50% is the bloke in your life, if that's the situation you find yourself in. And I often think too much of the spotlight, focus, guilt, shame is on women. And we thought we would get an IVF doctor, a man who has worked in this space for many, many years, not to make him feel old, many, many years, to talk about the man's role in making a baby. So Dr. Andrew Hedges, who has come very highly recommended from Hunter IVF, joins us in studio. Good morning, Dr. Hedges.
Good morning to you all. Thanks so much for having me here.
I know you've been with Hunter IVF for 18 years, but you've worked in the space for, about 30, would you say?
A long time.
So many babies.
You're responsible for a lot of kids in Nui and the Hunter.
Absolutely.
I guess the first question is, how often do you see couples that, what percentage would you say, oh no, it's actually an issue with the bloke and with the sperm?
That's a good question. So infertility is a problem for about one in four, one in five couples.
Wow. Oh, wow. More than that stat. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
It's quite common. And if you then look at what are the causes, the male factor affects about half of them in one way or the other. So for some of them, it'll be a minor issue. And for others, it will be the major issue. Fertility is funny. I mean, if we look at a reason why a couple may not be falling pregnant, it's often a couple of things. It's not just one thing, and it's a bit of a multiplier. So it might be that there's a little bit of problem with ovulation for the woman, like producing an egg, and it might be that there's some problems with the sperm itself. Individually, maybe not going to show up as an issue, but if you put those two people together, it's sort of 1 + 2 = 4, you know? So that's what we commonly see.
Mm. Okay. And so as far as, let's look at the guy's perspective, as far as lifestyle factors go, is there anything that guys can be doing to improve their chances of having good swimmers?
That's another very good question, and one that I think a lot of guys are frightened to hear the answer to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because lifestyle factors are important. Things that really are problematic, excess alcohol, consumption, and most couples when they come in are surprised to hear that what we do today affects the sperm quality over about the next 8 weeks, because it's quite a long process producing sperm. Think of it being like a production line on a car line. It's got many, many steps. So if you have a binge today, it can sort of affect what's going on in 6 to 8 weeks time, and that's important.
And the alcohol side of it, what about like a drink a night or something like that? Or is it only binge levels that affects it?
Both are important, but binge is probably the most important, because the way we deal with alcohol in our body is we have pathways to break it down in the liver, and the liver's pretty good at it. But once you sort of exceed its ability to deal with it in the normal way, then it uses other pathways, and the end points of those are quite toxic. So you may have heard of things like formaldehyde. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's used to preserve bodies. It's toxic stuff that's sometimes in carpet when you first lay it. If you have a really big night on the drink, it's possible to measure formaldehyde levels in sperm the next day.
Wow.
I know.
Right.
So it does cop a hit. So often what I like to say is, look, you don't have to stop completely, but just keep it at nice, safe levels and try and avoid those binges.
Yep.
So that 1 to 2 drinks a day, is probably going to be fine.
Yeah. But a big Friday, Saturday night, lots of drinks.
It takes a hit.
And a hit, did you say for how long? 8 weeks it can affect?
Potentially.
This is probably a dumb question. Can you shoot?
No dumb questions.
Can you shoot those blanks out, get them out of your system after a big night out?
Because remember that you've got this little production line, and it's sort of hammering it all the way along. But I think the important thing is that it's the cumulative effect over time.
Right.
And other things can give it a hit as well. For example, if you have a really bad viral illness, it can knock your sperm around, which is one of the reasons why if we ask a guy to come and have a sperm sample, if the first sample doesn't look too good, that doesn't necessarily mean the end of the line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We would usually repeat it. It may well be that there's been some other issue that's had an effect.
Okay. And how many do you do normally to get a good idea of where their sperm health is?
So if the count's normal, we're happy.
Yeah, okay.
What's normal? Mm. How many should be in a jar?
So we measure sperm. We look at it in, there's three major things we look at. One is the actual numbers. So the yardstick is 15 million per mil.
15 million.
I know. It does sound like a big number, doesn't it?
The information of your body in there.
But and only one of those guys gets through.
That's it.
You only need one. Yeah.
That's it. So it's a bit of a competition, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you don't want that one to be drunk.
No, it's true.
Well, yeah. Malahide through that one. Not good.
It's like normally 3 to 5 mil-ish, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. And then the next parameter we look at is how they're swimming. So we want sperm not to be sort of, you know, lying on the sunbed in the middle of the pool. We want it to get off and swim and get to where it's got to get to.
Don't want lazy swimmers.
No, we don't want lazy swimmers. And then the third criteria is the morphology, which means, morphology just means what they look like under the microscope. And this is the other piece of information which I think stuns a lot of people too, is the majority of sperm in the ejaculate is actually abnormal. So that might, its head might be too big, or there might be two heads, might have a bent tail, might have two tails. So all those sperm are not going to do the job.
Right.
Because it's a race to the egg. Yeah. Once it's a selection happened process. Inside, yeah. the quickest.
You need the Michael Phelps.
You need the Michael Phelps. You want the two-headed cousins in there.
You don't want the two-headed cousins. And they're going to have all sorts of trouble if they do get to the egg, you know, trying to sort of burrow in with their two heads. It's just not going to work for them.
Right.
Right.
And what about things that we heard like wearing sometimes, I don't know if this is true or not, like tighter underpants.
Yeah.
Or wearing undies to bed.
Strangling the berries.
Yep. Yeah. Laptops on your, you know, the electromagnetic sort of.
Yeah, right.
Stuff from
mobile phone in the pocket near the guys.
Yeah, so look, there's been some research around that too, looking at exposing sperm or testicles to that non-ionizing radiation. It does seem to have an effect as well.
Jesus.
But I mean, the way sperm works is it likes to testicles like to work at about half a degree less than the normal body temperature, which is why the scrotum actually, you know, if it's cold, it sort of contracts back towards the body.
Yes.
If it's hot, you know, so boxer shorts are supposed to help you thermoregulate, you know, sort of keep it at the right temperature. Is it a huge issue? It's probably not huge, but it's another contributing thing.
Yeah.
There's so many factors that we do in everyday life.
Totally. Yeah. What about exercise levels? I had some advice for my husband that, yes, he should wear loose undies and not be working out every single day and basically burning his testosterone. Or I don't know what the link was, but I was like, you're not going to the gym anymore.
I think there's no doubt that too much of anything's not real good, you know. And one group of people who we do see issues with a sort of elite cyclists, and that's probably not so much the training as much as the pressure on the blood supply and everything to the testicles. And
sitting on the seat.
Yeah, and so for those guys, we do, if there's a problem, we say, look, we might need you to drop your training back, get off the bike a bit, you know, do some other stuff.
Right.
And so when you say strong swimmers and you look at them and see how they're going, does that mean that my guys inside my body right now are just swimming all over the place, like just constantly, and then they just get their opportunity to go for a goal?
Yeah, sort of. So the number of normal sperm we like to see in the ejaculate, we need to see over 4%. So it's not many. But that's why you've got so many troops on the ground, and that's why you've got to, you know, get them to the spot they need to get to. But what they do, they're produced in the testicle on that little production line, and then they go to this little area next to the testicle called the epididymis, and that's where they get their sort of final tune-up instructions and, you know, learn how to swim and do all the stuff they've got to do.
Yeah.
And then they wait to see if it's their chance. And if you've had a vasectomy, for example, the little tube from that has been... It's been and all the sperm just gets reabsorbed with time.
Right. And so what happens to the, generally, if you haven't had a vasectomy, from the epididymis and say you're celibate for 6 months, what happens to that?
The sperm just die and they're reabsorbed.
Right.
Yeah. They don't get a chance.
They don't get a chance.
It's fascinating because all this stuff, yet you hear so many one-night stands when they're blind drunk.
Yep.
And it works.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know what I mean? Out of a drunken night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're, you know, every journey's different. And here I am, you know, trying really hard and all these things. And you go, it's so different every card that you're dealt.
Yes.
Dr. Hedges, can you speak to when I started getting probed and prodded and doing some investigation? My husband went to his GP and said, I would like to do some sperm tests as well. My wife's done XYZ. And his GP said, no, unless it's been that full year, we're not going to bother investigating. Mm-hmm. Would you say that it's sort of maybe we need to get more information out for men? These lifestyle changes are the things you can do to maybe avoid that, or should we see a shift in the healthcare system where men can maybe get some information so then we can have these conversations about, hey, diet, lifestyle, exercise, whatever.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned alcohol. Smoking's a huge one. Mm. Fortunately, we're seeing, you know, so the incidence of smoking is decreasing a lot, which is...
Vapes, though?
Vapes is a really good question. So vapes... The bottom line is I don't know, but okay. I suspect it's I'm not saying people should go and vape, but because we don't know what the other health effects of vaping are, and it's really popular. I mean, amongst the sort of 20s and 30 year olds, it's almost everyone seems to have a vape, and it worries me a lot because the effects on your lungs and things like that we don't know, and they're probably not great.
Yes,
but in terms of tobacco versus vaping. Tobacco is full of a whole lot of really nasty stuff, including even cadmium, you know, things like that, that are really toxic substances. And so anyway, we know that if one person smokes in a relationship, the chances of them getting pregnant, even with IVF, is substantially reduced.
Right.
Vaping, I don't know the answer, but it probably is less.
So that's because of the tobacco, though?
That's right. The burning the tobacco and all of the cancer-causing compounds that are produced when you inhale tobacco smoke.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other things that are another huge area which we forget about is all the other environmental toxins and things like herbicides and pesticides and fungicides.
Oh, where their work could play a factor.
Or home. How many guys are out there in their thongs and stubbies or board shorts with the Roundup, you know, wandering around the backyard and probably getting a reasonable dose themselves. Yep. And those things are quite toxic to sperm as well.
Yeah. Right. Well, so on that, do you think it is a matter of getting more of that education out there, or why don't we sperm test men when they want one at whatever stage to then have that conversation, do you think?
Look, I think it just comes down to the sort of guidelines around investigating infertility. And for young, you know, fit people, 12 months is probably reasonable. For someone who's 38 or 39 with some other known problem, that's far too long, you know, because
to delaying, waste, in essence.
Exactly, because the material difference between having treatment at 39 and 40 is substantial.
Totally. Mm.
And the other thing is, you know, if, just say, for example, you might have some ovulation problems. So we might be looking at some strategies or some medications to help you ovulate, because clearly to get pregnant, you need three things. You need an egg. You need sperm that works, and you need to have tubes that are open. Now, if we spend 6 months getting you ovulating and then find out there's no sperm, we just completely wasted that time. Plus, we would have treated you a completely different... We were taking down a completely different pathway from the start.
And I think that was the purpose of this conversation, I guess. Like, women, you need to... And I know there's a whole conversation about men going to the doctor and exploring their health issues, but it's 50%, isn't it? Like, you've got to look at those things, one, to not waste time, but two, because that might be part of the problem or the issue.
But there was another part of this conversation that we also needed to have.
Oh, yeah.
And we wanted to ask you something. We are trying to promote awareness of the guy having to do his due diligence as well in this situation.
Yes.
We're wondering, Ducko and I, would you mind if you tested our little guys?
Test our little swimmers. See how they go.
See how we go.
Be a pleasure.
A pleasure.
A pleasure to come and test
us. Do you have any jars on you?
I don't have any jars on me.
Okay. How does it work? How does it work? Where I go? No. Because Gilly's got kids. He's had twins.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm 31. Yes. I love to exercise and I enjoy to drink.
Yeah.
It's a very irrational fear of mine. Not being able to have my end of the bargain working. So I'm quite nervous about this whole process.
I don't doubt it. I think a lot of guys are. Although, you know, you were mentioning before that it's a couple and there's the guilt around it for the woman. Sometimes it's difficult for women to get their partners to even turn up because they think, well, it's not my issue.
Right.
But yeah, when we explain to them how common it is and how that can really change the way we deal with things from the up front, then I think it's important information.
Absolutely. I totally get what you're saying, Ducko, but in terms of you'd rather know now, I guess,
absolutely.
Wouldn't you? If maybe there's some factors. I know you and Morgan aren't, you know, thinking about it right now.
But in the next year or so, thereabouts.
But if I hadn't closed the account, I would have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
True. There's just nothing riding on it for me anymore.
Yeah. So you probably have great swimmers. Anyway, can we also see who's got, like, faster swimmers? Can we do that?
How many's got two heads?
Can we do, like, a speed test? Like
speed test. Whose cousins are from Tassie?
Who can do it faster or the sperm speed?
I'd like to say we can, but we can't.
We'll just say mine then. Great. Okay, so we can come into you. We'll come into the clinic and we'll get it sorted and we'll go through the results.
Absolutely. So we can sort that out. I mean, at Hunter IVF, the lab is located at Newcastle Private, just behind the main entrance. And You can either collect at the lab itself. There are two collection rooms, or you can collect at home and drop it off at a given time.
Oh, I see. That's what Angus had to do. He got given a parameter of, like, you've got an hour to get it to us, and you've got to keep him warm. Yes. Keep them warm.
I'm going to come in to Hunter IVF because I want the whole experience.
You want fresh.
Yeah.
I think it's better. There's nothing worse than producing at home and then being stuck in traffic, can't find a park.
I'd be nervous. Is that going to affect the swimmers?
Slam on the brakes and it rolls. You're like, I'm shaking them up.
Can I quickly ask you before you've been very good. Is there a difference, let's say, in masturbating and stuff like that? If I'm going in to do a test, should I hold off and reserve them, or should I shoot some out and get a few bad, I don't know, loads out of the way? You know what I mean?
So a bit of both, to be quite honest with you. This sort of 2 days absence, not more than about five, is perfect.
Okay. Good to know. Writing it down.
Are you going to do everything?
So 2 to 5 Goldilocks window there, Ducko.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Andrew Hedges, Clinical Director at Hunter IVF. We cannot thank you so much for your knowledge and your intel and for being so open with us and helping us keep this conversation going. So we'll follow up.
We'll follow up with you.
Yes, we will. Looking forward to it. We'll go through the results.
Yes.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. No worries.